So, Christine Whitehead, Professor of Housing at LSE, is going to talk a bit more about some of her enormous experience research about some of the international examples and what we can bring up.
Thank you. Just two quick points. One is, of course, that private rented sectors in market systems basically come out of the existing stock, and the rents are determined by demand, what people kicking, screaming, complaining, suffering are prepared to pay. And the reason why the shelter diagram doesn't reflect reality is because people share. What we've lost over the last 15 years is single people don't live alone any longer. We cannot find in our project single people living alone, they're sharing. And then the rent gets determined by how many people are prepared to share and how overcrowded they're prepared to be. And what we've done, I think, is moved from a situation where sometimes one person lived, now two will live, two maybe three maybe four maybe five. And that's what's determining that height. And the families can't compete with that by definition, even if both of them are working. But the second thing is that the English Housing Survey shows that people aren't paying as much as a proportion of income as you would expect them to be doing in London. And that is partly it is because of a sharing story. In other words, people do make a trade-off, and unhappily they're making a trade-off which says we're going to overcrowd and push the prices up. And that issue is that if we're going to be a growth economy, there's going to be more people doing that, and there'll always be some people prepared to do it. And so regulation level of standards and so on are very, very important. So that's not about international perspective, but the international perspective is two things before the election. I can't remember who it was, but I think it was probably most of them, said, every country in Europe has regulation more than we do. Not true, of course. A lot of countries do, though. And secondly, that rent control will work, of course. Now, what is happening, what we're seeing in London is being reflected in most of the countries that we think of as being great. Yes, the other thing was the receptionist who said cheerfully, oh, Germany has it. And now, 5 years ago, nobody would have even thought about knowing that. But Germany actually has a system. It's a very different system. And we'll talk a little bit about that. Most of the countries of Europe, even though we've not been growing very fast, have got problems about the growth in the private rented sector, but there's also longer term trends among younger people, that since the 80s, younger people have been going into owner occupation that much later, and so they've been staying in the private rented sector that much longer. Changing demographics of private renting is that we now have to worry about the fact that we've got a large number of poorer family households that we didn't have before. But these increasing market pressures in capitals and in other metropolitan areas are putting pressure on governments across Europe, and the level of pressure doesn't seem to be related to the starting point. In other words, we've had riots in Berlin on housing, which has got a very much more strong regulated system. And generally, it doesn't seem to be related to where we start. Maybe it should be. Secondly, as this is just to formalise what John was saying, first generation regulation is decide what rollover is now, and that's it. And it will never rise again. And that ruins every system that has ever done it, because they never, ever managed to get out of it after the first year, which you'd have to. Second generation is rent increases being controlled between and within tenancies. But mostly, countries have what is called third generation rent regulation, which should enable investment to take place if it is well operated, which controls rent increases based on an index within the system and gives the security that John was talking about. But it's market friendly because it allows new lettings to be set at market levels. And so what ideally you get out of it is, instead of getting the blue line, you get the nice plain You know your rent's going to go up each year. Now, it happens to be the case, that GLA has suggested, but rents have actually been going up faster in Germany with that type of rent stabilisation than they have in Britain. That may well be true, but they're starting from a very much lower level. But if you do build in your rents are going to go up by X percent, then they go up by X percent. And so it can, under certain circumstances, not the ones we're facing, show higher rents than otherwise. Now, these are work which was done by Kath and others in the LSE London over a number of different projects. What it shows on rent regulation itself is that there is a batch at the top who regulate from on first renting and new tenants, but mostly what we have is rent rises within the existing leases being regulated, and that is a rent stabilisation policy. Germany, by the way, doesn't have the same thing across the country, so it's difficult to say exactly what's going on. When we come to security, which is a point that John is registering, then what we see is, on the whole, in the countries which we sort of like, we see indefinite leases or longer-term leases. But indefinite is the more general. Indefinite with a very clearly specified set of rules for when the tenant gets kicked out, whatever, and the landlord gets permission, and the other way round. In the main, though, they are very—they're fairly tenant-friendly, but we do have to—they do have to have a very clear-cut legal framework around it. So, if we move to Germany, because I better move to Germany very quickly. Indefinite leases: landlords can evict only for the reasons we say, and they have to give lots of notice. They bind the new buyer if it transfers, but the initial rent can be freely set. And technically, it's not more than 20 to 50% above the rents for similar properties in the same area. So it's a big... And the evidence which Michael Voigtlander put forward at a conference we were at, he's anti-regulation, but that's by the way, his evidence is, I think, fairly correct, was that the differences were greater than that in the areas of pressure. In other words, the initial rents, because it's an indefinite lease and it's going to go up by inflation plus a little bit, are getting out of control and very much higher. The other thing to remember about Germany is that what you're buying as a tenant is not the same thing as what you're buying in London. You will, at the limit, you'll get builders finished. You'll put your own toilet in. Mostly, you'll put your own kitchen in. And so what you are buying is a longer-term relationship where you are paying part of the costs of that process. And the landlord, of course, hasn't got so much which is depreciating as he has in many other places. So it's a very different model with different property rights. But what we're seeing is, and also the other thing to say about Germany, it's all very different, but for 30 years house prices declined. Well, in that circumstance, you want rents which are fixed and can go up because, you know, that's what you get. That has changed. We've now got areas which are very, very different from that. And in Munich, you might fill in the forms, which are pretty horrible, for a tenancy 70 or 80 times before you actually get one because the pressures on the market are so high. So that has been a major, major problem, and owner occupation is growing quite rapidly. But they have brought in increased regulations, trying to limit the rent increase, trying to limit the amount that it can differ from the area around, so that the initial rent cannot exceed 10% of the local reference rent. And these are being built in, and Berlin, Hamburg, and some cities in Bavaria are putting them in place, and the political pressures are very high, the economic arguments are also very strong, and there are a number of people who are saying that it is going to limit investment very significantly. Sweden has somewhat of the same issues, and the tensions are enormous. And the tensions are about insiders and outsiders. The insiders may or may not be doing well, dependent upon how well it is regulated. The outsiders are being left out because there is nowhere for them to go. The Netherlands is actually a traditional rent control policy. You get points for your dwelling, and you can then charge your rent in relationship to those points, and the government is trying to hold it down for a while. The reason they're doing this is because they want to get properties out of the rent control system, because above a certain number of points, you can then set your rent completely free in the marketplace. So the government's intention here of capping the rent is actually to get things moved into the private rent, into what we would call the pure private rented sector. Same sort of story in France, much more complicated as always with the French. I said that in front of the French yesterday and they didn't mind. But what they're basically doing is saying, in Paris in particular, but in one or two other areas, rents are going up far too fast. What we will do is we will have an administered system deciding what the rents will be, and we will impose from that observatory a system which is a modified German system. But in September 2014, they pulled away from that, arguing that it would deter investment too much. And at the moment, they're doing an experimental system in Paris, which is a control system. But at the same time, central government is guaranteeing the landlords will get paid whatever, which does give a slight incentive for nobody to collect their rent. We can go through a number of others very quickly. Ireland, the interesting point about Ireland is that the Labour Party said that they got their system from Ireland. The Irish said, what? We're looking at Britain to see what it should look like. Basically, they decontrolled almost totally in 1982, and they've now brought in a system with four-year tenancies and rent increases to CPI are being discussed within that 4 years. Now, New York and San Francisco are brought in because these are places with long-term rent controls. And what the New York stuff shows is basically it's the middle classes who benefit, because they stay there in comfort in the centre of town on low rents, and they may very well have another home somewhere else at the same time, while unhappily the tenants in the poorer areas on the whole find it very difficult to make sure that the systems continue to operate. And San Francisco is showing a very rapid decline in the numbers of units being made available. Is that fair?
Landlords have to go through jump through a number of hoops to sell the buildings, but they are
managing to they're hoop jumping quite effectively. Just very, very quickly, there are a lot of landlords who have longer term time horizons. What we want to do is enable them to make that decision. And they're quite broadly based, a lot of them are housing associations. But take the example in Stratford. Genesis Stratford Halo was offered on a five-year leases, absolutely no cost to the tenant of taking them. They could get out whenever they wanted, etc. They wouldn't take them. And they didn't think that they were being offered a good deal. They were frightened about what the deal would actually be. Now, what happened was that people who moved in on one-year tenancies have now seen that they do want to stay, they know the area, they like it, etc., and now they're looking for those five-year tenancies. But it is not the case that you will get people absolutely prepared to sign up to long-term tenancies unless they fully understand what it is, and also, to some extent, unless they know the area and what they want. Now, that is because we haven't got it. It's not saying that 30% of people don't want it, but it probably isn't a lot more than that, although the evidence is somewhat against it. Transparency, undoubtedly. Landlords want stability. They want a low regulation environment. What they don't want is somebody saying, let's do this now, and then in 2 years' time, if that's worked, we'll do a bit more. So what we learn is good regulation, good stabilisation systems can work and should be enabled to work as much as possible. But rent stabilisation is only part of the story. The security aspect of it is massively important. The certainty about regulatory framework, which is what we've been upset over the last few weeks, is very, very important. And international comparison should not be taken lightly. Thank you.